Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Adcock Ingram interim results for the 6 months ended to 31 December 2024. All participants will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity to ask questions later during the conference. If you should need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero. Please note that this call is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to the CEO, Andy Hall. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Danae. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the interim results webcast for Adcock Ingram for the 6 months ended 31 December. Thanks for taking the time to show interest in the company. As is our usual procedure, I'll provide an overview of the company performance, which I think you will already have read was impacted adversely by a couple of factors. And once I complete my overview, I'll hand over to Dorette Neethling, our CFO. She'll take you through the financials, and we will have a question and answer session at the end for anybody who has additional questions. Certainly, we concede that the financial performance for the reporting period ended well below expectations. So we don't come to this sort of meeting with any degree of satisfaction on the results, but nonetheless, we will have to give you the facts of what has happened. You'll see that turnover decreased by 1% to 4.7 billion rand. There were really two factors that impacted that. We saw a slowdown in the independent wholesale channel. That's the channel that mainly services the lower LSMs out of our consumer business. And then we saw a couple of, in fact, three of our larger pharmaceutical wholesalers reducing their inventory holdings over the period. Particularly from October onwards, we evidenced the slowdown. It wasn't evident up until the end of September. Certainly we can see, though, from those wholesalers that their sales into pharmacies are higher than the orders that are being placed on the company. We saw organic volumes declining by 7%, and that was partly compensated for by an average price increase of 5% and a small mix benefit of 1%. When we look at the IQVIA data, IQVIA is a company that independently measures market shares and the pharmaceutical market in South Africa. They report that Adcock Ingram has grown by 4% in the total private market in the last 12 months and remains the top-ranked company in the private sector. The reduced demand adversely impacted the gross margin, so you'll see some shrinkage there. The biggest culprit was significantly reduced production levels in the period, particularly at our Wadeville plant, where we saw unit production decrease significantly. That facility produces products for both the prescription and the OTC business, although it's housed within the prescription division, and hence you see the severe reduction in profit in that segment of the business. We also had a change in the sales mix with lower sales proportionately of some key generic and branded medicines. You will have seen an increase in the large volume parenteral sales in the critical care business, and that mix also had an impact on the gross margin. Of course, we do have the 5.25% SEP adjustment, which we implemented in the business in February. So that should help us protecting the margin in the second half of the financial year. At the operating expense level, our teams did a good job there in trying to control operating expenses. They increased by 3% below inflation, and do include salary increases that we provide in the business in December. Unfortunately, the gross profit decline could not be compensated for, and consequently, you saw a significant trading profit decline of 17% to 515 million. We were shielded a little bit at the HEPS line because we saw very good performances from our two joint ventures. And the effect of the share purchase that we did in the previous financial year obviously comes into that calculation. So headline earnings per share down 9%, certainly better than the decline in trading profit. When we look at the segments, briefly, our consumer division, that's the business that competes in healthcare, personal care, and home care. Also has the portfolio includes mainly analgesic products, energy products, dermatology, sun care, shoe care, and home care. We saw sales of our premium brands in the independent wholesale channel being weak. And when we talk about the premium brands there, we're really referring to Panado, BioPlus, and Compral, the types of products that get sold in single units. So, you know, two tablets of Panado or a sachet of BioPlus or a sachet of Compral powder, for instance. We did, though, see good performances from a number of our pharmacy, front shop, and home care brands. So if we look at the products like Epimax, Gynaguard, Island Tribe, which is our sun care range, and Plush, those products, in fact, all increased revenue in the low double digits. We also added the Dermapal range of products to the company in July. That's a sunscreen range that we purchased, and that added more than 30 million rand to revenue in the period. So while the independent wholesale channel declined, our sales into the pharmacy channel and the FMCG retail channel, in fact, grew. But with the change in the sales mix, the softer demand for Panado and BioPlus, we did have a slight contraction in the gross margin here, and that resulted in trading profit declining by 6% to 177 million. Our over-the-counter division, is a market leader in pain, coughs, colds and flu and digestive and allergy products through pharmacy in South Africa, mainly selling Schedule 1 and 2 medicines. That business has maintained its share over the period of almost 20%, according to IQVIA. We did see revenue decline there by 4%, and this was effectively the impact of a few of our large pharmaceutical wholesale customers having reduced their aggregate inventory holdings. That impacted a few brands, particularly Carenza C, which is a big cold and flu brand, and two of our bigger cough mixtures being Alcophilex and Adco Linctopent. Our pain portfolio, though, did okay in this part of the business. So we saw products like Adcodol and Mypaid and Betapain posting decent ex-factory growth. IQVIA reports that our Schedule 1 and 2 products have grown by 7% in the private market in the last 12 months. Trading profit improved in this division by 4% to 172 million, with very good cost control in the business. The Clavel manufacturing facility, which manufactures high-volume oral liquids or syrups and effervescence powders and eye drops, is housed in this division. We did see a small decrease in throughput in this facility, but that was largely a result of regulatory audits that we had from SAHPRA during the period. But from an overall perspective, we were happy with the operational performance of the Clavel factory, and that you'll see reflected in the increased profit. The prescription division markets a portfolio of branded and generic medicines as well as specialized skincare products. And also has a reasonably large portfolio of ophthalmology equipment and ophthalmology surgical products. As well as doing our own products, this division markets and distributes portfolios for a number of multinational partners. Revenue was down 5% in this part of the business, again due to some destocking in the pharmaceutical wholesale channel, affecting mainly our pain products and our generics portfolio. In addition, our ARV sales were down by 50% in this part of the business as Adcock Ingram continues to reduce its presence in that therapeutic category. IQVIA in December reported that this segment, the prescription business, had grown by 6% in the total private market in the last 12 months. The gross margin here was significantly lower than the prior corresponding period, adversely affected by the lack of throughput at Wadeville and the sales mix. So we saw a significant contraction here. At Wadeville, following the reduction of the oral solid dosage forms in the government ARV tender, this factory is now largely reliant on production of smaller non-ARV tablet runs and also low-volume oral liquids and syrups. So unlike the Clavel facility runs smaller batches of oral syrups. The reduced demand that we saw in both the OTC and the prescription business, coupled with ongoing water supply interruptions in that area of Gauteng, had a massive impact on the production output at that factory, and that you can see reflected in the very disappointing financial result, with trading profit halving to 90 million rand. We do continue to engage with a number of multinational companies to add their products to our basket so we can perform their marketing, sales, and distribution activities in South Africa. At the end of December, the Competition Commission approved that Adcock Ingram could take over the entire Lundbeck business in the region. We were a partner of Lundbeck's before, doing a smaller portion of their portfolio, but effectively we have now absorbed that entire business into Adcock Ingram. Lundbeck is a leader in central nervous system products in pharmaceuticals. We're also in the process of negotiating the terms of a partnership with GSK South Africa for a portfolio of vaccines that they intend to bring to the market over the next few years. Just moving on to our hospital division, which is the leading manufacturer and supplier of critical care hospital products and renal dialysis systems in the country. This company produces more than 90% of the country's life-saving large-volume intravenous fluids in the public sector, and we estimate more than 60% in the private sector. Turnover did improve by an impressive 10% in this part of the business. We saw the medicine delivery portfolio, in which the intravenous fluids are housed, grow by 12%. That was assisted by the tender that was awarded in October 2023, where we won in excess of 90% of the volume of that tender. Renal products here also grew in the low double digits, and the business continues to secure increased demand from both Netcare and Life Healthcare's dialysis units. The blood business, which is mainly a blood collection business, but also has some specialized therapeutic products for blood disease, declined due to the repatriation of Fever, a product for the treatment of hemophilia. That product went back to its intellectual property owner in the period, just before the period started. And then we've onboarded a wound care and ostomy range from a global multinational called Convatec. That contributed about 30 million rand to sales in the period. The gross margin ended a little bit lower than the prior corresponding period. Yeah, really just followed by the change mix with the higher LVP tender sales and the lower sales of Fever, which was a reasonably good margin brand. Nonetheless, with good cost control, trading profit here remained flat at 74 million rand. The Aeroton facility, where we produce the intravenous products, the renal dialysis fluids and blood collection bags, continues to run at full capacity. The aging infrastructure and equipment remain persistent challenges here, and we're exploring and implementing numerous projects to maintain regulatory compliance and sustainability of supply of products critical to the healthcare environment in South Africa. The division agreed a long-term supply and distribution agreement with a multinational called Medline. Medline offers a broad hospital offering, including incontinence, wound care, and skin care products, and we intend to initiate marketing of the wound care products in this half of the financial year, and those will complement our Convatec range. Looking at our ESG, in our efforts to address the challenges of unreliable electricity supply and transition to renewable energy, we've now got solar power at 6 of our sites. During the current reporting period, these installations contributed 6% of our total power consumption. And when we factor in when we need to use generators in the business, we produced approximately 8% of our own power during the 6 months. We've placed a very strong emphasis on waste management in the country, in the company, and we've managed to reduce our waste to landfill now to just 8%. We're also operating 5 electric trucks in our distribution segment or our distribution business as part of our ongoing efforts to reduce our carbon footprint. Our corporate social responsibility program continues. We are now supporting a group called MediMobile Deliveries Initiative, which provides medication to about almost 2,000 pensioners, easing the burden on local facilities in the area. We're supporting the Wellness Helpline Center in partnership with the Tehillah Community Collaborative, and that's a skills development and youth employment program where about 150 young learners in the Western Cape can get skills and employment. Our sort of long-standing relationship is with the Smile Foundation, who we continue to support. They do remarkable work, as I'm sure you've seen, providing surgical procedures for children born with facial abnormalities. We were very proud to achieve a level 1 BE rating in November 2024, so we now carry that rating through till the end of this calendar year that we currently sit in. That concludes my brief overview. Dorette will now move into the detailed financials, and then we'll be happy to take questions after that.
Thank you, Andy, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Just a reminder, as always, that we have our summarized results announcement booklet available on our website, and the investor presentation will also be available after a little bit later today, after the presentation itself. So looking at the income statement, revenue of 4.7 billion rand ended 26 million rand below the comparative period, primarily due to the constrained consumer spending within the lower LSMs and reduced inventory holdings in the pharmaceutical wholesalers channel, as Andy explained a little earlier. This resulted in organic volumes declining by 6.5%. The average price realization of 5.3% could partially offset these declines in volumes, and the contribution from mix was 0.6%. Gross profit of 1.5 billion rand is 4.6% lower than the prior comparative 6-month period. The gross margin declined from 34% to 32.6%. And as Andy mentioned, this was impacted by a change in the sales mix with a lower proportion of branded and generic prescription sales, as well as the ARV private market sales and a higher portion of LVP sales to the state in the hospital business. This was exacerbated by significantly lower production levels at the Wadeville facility, which produces for both prescription and OTC. Excuse me. The impact of the exchange rate was not material during the period, but nevertheless, I'll give you the details of the material foreign currencies we bought during the reporting period. $39 million US dollars at an average rate of 18 rand 24 cents, which represents a 3.2% strengthening relative to the prior comparative period, which was at 18 rand 84 cents. And we bought 32 million euros at an average rate of 20 rand 6 cents, which represents a 1% strengthening compared to the 20 rand 26 cents achieved in the comparative period. With approximately 52% of FECs in US dollar terms and the balance mostly in euros, the cost of our basket of all currencies weighted on actual settlements in the period was 2.1% lower than the prior comparative period. Operating expenses of just over 1 billion rand, which increased by 2.9%, were very well controlled and ended below inflation despite the salary increases. Trading profit of 515 million rand ended 16.6% below the prior period. And then if we look at below the trading line on the non-trading expenses of 28 million rand, it mainly consists of share-based expenses in excess of 27 million rand and a small expense relating to corporate activity costs. Operating income of 487 million rand is 16.8% below the prior period. If we move to the equity accounted earnings from our two joint ventures for the half year, which arise from National Renal Care, our JV with Netcare, and then the JV in India, which is in partnership with MetLife Meiji. Those earnings were 88 million rand and 53% above the prior period, which was at 57 million rand. As you might recall, the Indian JV's performance in the comparative period was adversely impacted by the delay in receiving a permit to import codeine phosphate into India. Production at that plant thus normalized, and we've seen an uptick in volumes from both the Indian manufacturer as well as NRC. And just for your purposes, about two-thirds of the equity accounted earnings relate to the Indian JV. Net finance costs of 59 million rand were incurred during the period, and it includes the IFRS 16 finance costs relating to leases of 12.5 million rand. This increase is consequent to a higher net debt in relation to the comparative period, reflecting the impact of the share buyback program in the previous financial year, the acquisition of the Dermapal brand in July 2024, as well as a higher investment in working capital. The effective tax rate adjusted for equity accounted earnings is 29.7%, with non-deductible expenditure causing the increase over the statutory rate. Headline earnings for the year, for the half year, amounted to 390 million rand, which was 13% below the comparative period, whilst headline earnings per share of 265.5 cents are 9.4% below the comparative period, which was at 293 cents. If we turn to the balance sheet, and I'll start with the non-current assets. Within the non-current assets, we had depreciation of 97 million rand, 5 million rand higher than the previous period, and it includes depreciation of 22 million rand on the right of use assets, which is capitalized in terms of IFRS 16, and we had pretty much the same amount of depreciation on those assets in the comparable period. Intangible assets, including goodwill, have a carrying value of 1.2 billion rand, and it comprised of generic, consumers, and OTC trademarks and license agreements, and it includes the acquired Aspen brands, the Genop business, Plush, and the recently acquired Dermapal brand, which is recorded at 110 million rand. Amortization in the 6 months equaled that of the prior period, which was just short of 5 million rand. Other financial assets of 16.5 million rand relate to the capital contribution made to the Tiger Brands Black Managers Trust, which has reduced as options were exercised during the period, and our share in Group Risk Holdings Proprietary Limited. The investments in joint ventures of 753 million rand are the cost and subsequent equity accounted earnings of the dividends of their two joint ventures, and in the case of the Indian JV, adjusted for translation differences. Once again, the Indian JV comprises 68% of this value. In looking at current assets, inventory of 2.7 billion rand is stated at the lower of cost and net realizable value, and this value has increased by 191 million rand since the financial year end in June, mainly as a result of the lower than predicted demand on our key products during the first half of the year. Days in inventory at end December were 149 days. Trade accounts receivable of 2.1 billion rand are shown net of provisions of 41 million rand, with 93% of trade receivables due within their term. And just a reminder, those terms are 60 days or less. And 16% of trade receivables, or approximately 330 million rand, relate to debt from government, And of that portion, 61% are due within 60 days. So a book well controlled and not something that gives us sleepless nights at the moment. Days in receivables are 63 days, an increase from the 54 days we reported in June last year. At December year-end, half-year-end, the group was in a net debt position of 629 million rand, and with access to the remainder of the working capital facilities of 1.75 billion rand. The only liabilities outside of accounts payable and provisions relate to leases, and so no real long-term debt on our balance sheet yet. If we look at the bottom part of the balance sheet, we have shareholders' funds of 5.5 billion rand at the end of December, and the movement, which was an overall decrease of 38 million rand in the non-distributable reserves since June, relates to a decrease of 60 million rand in the share-based payment reserve, increase of about 17 million rand relating to the cash flow hedge accounting reserve, and an increase of 7 million rand for the foreign currency translation reserve. I will now turn to the segment information, and I'll start with the consumer division. Revenue in this division of 871 million rand ended just ahead of the prior corresponding period, supported by an average price increase of 4.5% and a mixed benefit of 4.3%, mainly attributed to the inclusion of the recently acquired Dermapal range. Organic volumes declined by 8.3%. As Andy alluded to, the sales of our premium brands into the independent wholesale channel that services the lower LSMs were weak, evidencing a struggling consumer in that sector. Sales into the FMCG retail channel, however, increased, and we have seen or experienced some supply constraints for Compral and E45, Compral being manufactured at Clayville, and E45 is supplied by a foreign supplier. But both of these issues were remedied by the end of December. As Andy said, our other brands like Epimax, Splash, Probiflora, Gynaguard, and Island Tribe all delivered strong performances. Gross margin ended below the comparative period due to the less favorable sales mix impacted by lower Panado and BioPlus sales. Operating expenditure was well controlled, and it ended 4 million rand below the comparative period despite the positive sales variance. And as a result, trading profit of 177 million rand ended 6% below the comparative period. Moving to the OTC business, revenue of 1.1 billion rand ended 4.1% below the comparative period. We've seen that the price increases were almost offset, or the price increases almost offset the volume decline, and the mix impact was negative due to the repatriation of a portfolio of brands to a multinational company, consequent to some global corporate activity. Three of this division's large pharmaceutical wholesalers reduced their aggregate inventory levels by approximately 100 million rand. The gross margin ended slightly above the prior period, and with well-controlled operating expenditure, which ended 3.1% below the comparative period, OTC delivered a trading profit of 172 million rand, which was 4.2% above the comparative period. In looking at prescription, revenue of 1.6 billion rand ended 5.1% below the comparative period. Organic volumes decreased by 9.4%. as the pharmacy wholesale channels reassess their purchasing strategies to reduce their stock levels. As indicated, the ARV sales into the private market also halved, but the division realized the price increase of 3.6% and a mixed benefit of 0.7%. Gross margin ended below the comparative period, adversely impacted by a substantial reduction in the production levels at Wadeville following the reduced demand. Operating expenditure ended 23 million or 7.3% above the comparative period due to an increase in marketing investments, especially for newly launched products or products to be launched shortly. As a result, trading profit of 90 million rand ended a very disappointing 100 million rand below the comparative period. Then lastly, if we look at the hospital division, where revenue of 1.1 billion ended 10.2% above the comparative period, an average price increase of 5.7% was realized, and organic volumes increased by 4.7%. Both LVPs and the renal portfolio had seen increased volumes. The mix decline was 0.2% as the loss of FIBA was only partially offset by the onboarding of the wound care and ostomy products from Convatec. Gross margin ended lower than the prior corresponding period due to the less favorable sales mix with increased LVP tender sales and no FIBA sales. Operating expenditure ended 8.4% above the comparative period, pretty much related to the higher sales in the business. Trading profit of 74 million rand ended on par with the comparative six-month period, and this business is showing good stability, even in the face of its many operational challenges. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes my part of the presentation. I will hand back to the operator and we welcome any questions.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. For those on the webcast, if you would like to ask a question, please submit your question via the text box on the webcast page. For those on the conference, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then 1 now. If you decide to withdraw the question, please press star and then 2. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please submit your question via the text box on the webcast page or press star and then 1 if you are on the conference. We'll pause a moment to see if we have any questions on the conference call. At this stage, there are no questions on the conference call. I will now hand over to Dorette for webcast questions. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you, Danai. I'll start off with a question from Grant Morris from Glucas Gray. In the prescription division, could you help me understand two issues? Is the intention to completely exit ARVs? And if so, when will this be complete? And the second question from Grant was, do you expect volumes ex ARVs to improve in the second half?
Thanks. Hi, Grant. Thanks for those questions. Look, on the ARV side, we've been reducing our presence in that part of the business, you know, over the last sort of three tender periods, partly due to the fact that to produce the triple combination, which is the major part of the tender, government tender for ARVs locally, we simply can't do price competitively relative to what the Indian manufacturers are supplying at. But just to give you a couple of numbers, in this set of results, our ARV revenue is less than 40 million rand. So, you know, if you consider that in the context of the entire business, it's less than 1% of our total sales. And less than 20% of that goes into the public sector, where there's virtually no margin for us on that small amount of 20%. The private sector sales, while there's margin in it, we'll still continue to do. But certainly, as you can see, you know, if we do 60 or 70 million in the private sector in the full fiscal, that's probably as big as that part of the business is going to get. As regards volumes in H2, look, I certainly think in all three of the pharmaceutical divisions, consumer, OTC, and prescription, we will see better volumes than what we saw in half one. It's early days, but January and February trading hasn't been too bad. The only thing I'd like you to bear in mind is that, you know, IQVIA, again, the company that independently measures the market, their December data shows that overall volumes in the market, in fact, are negative. So the entire industry, the industry as a whole, is showing negative volumes in the market over the last 12-month period. So we've got to navigate it as we go along. But again, you know, in consumer, I think we'll see better volumes because we can do better in the independent wholesale channel, and we've got a strategy that we've just started rolling out in that sector, which will help in the informal trading segment. The OTC business depends a lot on winter. So if we have a decent winter, we'll see better volumes than H1. And, you know, we won't know that until sort of the end of March, early April. And then prescription, you know, they had a really tough time of it. So I'd be very surprised if prescription can't do better volume-wise in the second half. And we've spoken to a couple of our big customers. At least one of them has committed to what we would call normalizing their order patterns. So, you know, I'm more positive for H2, but it's not difficult to be more positive given that H1 was a struggle in that part of the business.
Thank you, Andy. I think, Grant, that also answered your second question with regards to improvement in volumes. And there was also a question from Jan Meintjes on the outlook in terms of volumes and demand. So, Jan, I believe Andy also responded to that with his comments. There were another question from Sandile from Umsonto Health. On prescription, what is the main driver to the reduction in trading profit, and how are we planning to balance this impact? What is an acceptable trading margin for this business? And then secondly, from which divisions are we seeing scope for trading margin expansion? His second question, or in addition to that, he asked about the rationale for the current dividend policy and if we intend to increase this in the future or supplement it with share buybacks. And then also just in which area of the business or the group we see opportunity for acquisition. So quite a few questions, Andy. I hope you have them all.
Yeah, thanks, Dorette. Hi, Sandile. Look, the prescription business, there were two factors that impacted that profitability. The mix impacted it to some extent, so particularly when a couple of the big analgesic products are proportionately less in the mix, we lose a bit of margin there. But the main impact was what happened in the Wadeville facility over the last 6 months. So with the reduced demand in the market and the small batches that run both tablets and syrups in that part of the in that facility, effectively that factory was operating below break even in the last 6 months. So that was the major impact on that gross margin in prescription. We're currently busy with a strategic review of all our manufacturing facilities just to ensure that these facilities are sustainable and ensure that the efficiencies that we should be getting out of those factories are appropriate and that we're making the right nature of formulations across the business in the various manufacturing facilities, including India, where products can be done at a significantly better cost than what they can be done in South Africa. And then after that, we, of course, have to consider transport and logistics costs. One can't make everything in India. So it does make sense to keep a portion of our products here in South Africa. on the scope for trading margin expansion. Certainly, I would think half on half, we could do better in consumer, and that's really a mixed impact. So if we can do this rollout properly in the informal sector that we're trying of Panado, Compral, and Viaplus, that automatically improves the margin in that part of the business. And then in prescription, it all depends on what happens at Wadeville. So I don't think Wadeville should do necessarily worse in the second half of the year, but it's difficult to anticipate that it's going to have a significant uptick in volume. So I think there is a little bit of scope in prescription as well, but with some challenges. Looking at our dividend policy, look, that's been the same now for a number of years. The board does look at it on a regular basis. We have a policy of paying a dividend covered 2 to 2.5 times by headline earnings. We've been pretty consistent in being biased towards the lower end of that range. So in other words, a higher dividend payout rather than a lower dividend payout. Buybacks are still on our radar. So buybacks have served the company well over the last 3 years. Our shareholders are in support of buybacks. So relative to where we are trading in the market and what we consider to be fair value for Adcock Ingram, provided those buybacks are accretive, we'll continue to consider them. So that remains on the radar. And we have an authority from the last AGM to exercise when we think it's appropriate. Then on the acquisition side, we largely focus still on looking for non-price regulated products in that can complement our consumer portfolio. Personal care still remains an attractive category for us, and when I say personal care, it also includes sun care. Anything sort of in the front shop pharmacy space is of interest to us. But there's currently nothing on the table in that regard that we are looking at.
Thank you, Andy. And then there's only one more question. So if anyone else has a question on the webcast, please send it through to us. But I think very top of mind from Alec Abram of FASFIN, he asked about the potential impact from the withdrawal of the USAID ARV funding.
Okay. Hi, Alec. There's two answers to this question at Adcock Ingram. And the first one really is the easy one, because that relates back to Grant's question. We are a very small player in the government ARV tender. You know, as I mentioned, of our 40 million rand in the half, less than 10 million of that went through the tender. So we don't see any direct ARV impact for Adcock Ingram relative to the big players in the tender. I guess that's something that they would have to navigate. The second part of the issue, though, is a bigger concern for us, that if the minister and the department's estimates or information are accurate, that potentially more than 15,000 people get employed under that funding. Those people in various healthcare roles, nurses, doctors, etc. That has an impact on our entire customer base. So if there are potentially 15,000 families who move into the unemployment sector, that impacts our bottom end business. And that bottom end business is the business that currently looks particularly constrained. So we don't believe cutting aid helps anybody in South Africa. And anybody who's in a consumer business, our view is it can't help them. So that's our view on the issue.
Thank you, Andy. A follow-up question on your comment with regards to acquisitions in personal care space. Does this include cosmetics?
Is this from Sandile?
No, it's a colleague.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Highly unlikely. So, you know, we think that the upper end cosmetics are the domain of some of the big multinationals that play here. And when we look at a lot of the niche cosmetics, it's difficult for us to understand our brands that aren't turning over more than sort of 100 million rand per annum, would be of any value to the business. So cosmetics is, we would think is a stretch for us.
Thank you, Andy. There are no more questions on the webcast, so I'll hand back to Andy for a closing remark before we hand back to you, Danae.
Thanks, Dorette. Thanks to everyone for joining the call. Certainly, we hope that when we speak to you at the end of the second half, we can give you a more positive set of results. There are certainly areas that we're trying to work on. We'll talk to our shareholders over the course of the next couple of days. So we look forward to those interactions. Thank you, Danae.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that then concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.